We've been talking about running your race. Apostle Paul tells us that we have a race to run and that we need to run it. We need to run it well. And last week we talked about eight things about the Lord's endurance, because we're supposed to run with endurance. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more today. But I wanted you to know that the Lord is also enduring. We talked about eight things that he endures. His mercy endures forever. His mercy and these eight things endure forever. His mercy, there's nobody gooder than God. I mean, he's the goodest of them all, right? The word mercy means to bow down in kindness, to bow down to an equal. We're by no means God's equal. He doesn't bow down to worship. He doesn't bow down as an act of submission to us. He bows down in kindness to help us so he can lift us back up. The greatest kindness that was ever done was the lowering of Jesus himself as he came and became a man, died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. We said that truth endures forever. Righteousness, his righteousness endures forever. His word, his name, his glory, the fear of the Lord and praise. And you can get any of those messages at livingfaithfellowship.com. We always have them there online for you. So today I want to talk about this furtherance of our race that we're running, this life that we're living. And another thing that we're supposed to endure, endure temptation. Endure temptation. If you'll stand, let's read our subject this morning out of James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your word. Something of truth to stand on. It is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So let's get into this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. That sounds awesome to me, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It seems like enduring temptation begins to prove our love for the Lord. We're standing for him. We love you. I'm not going to do that because you don't like that, Lord. So I'm not going to do that. I love you. I want to do this. I want to do what's right. The word endures, we've looked at it before, hupomeno, it means to stay under, remain, undergo, bear trials, have fortitude. Endurance does not mean give in after a while. That's not enduring. It's like, well, I endured for a while, I'm done now. No, endurance means, hey, let's finish the task. Let's stay under it. Let's not come out from under. We're going to not give in. We're not going to give in. The word temptation, parasmos, it means putting to proof. It means adversity. Adversity. It's interesting that adversity kind of educates us. You know, there's all sorts of types of education. There's a university that we have up here that's educating a lot of us. A lot of us have gone through the university. But there's also the adversity that also trains us, that also grows us. It's called the school of hard knocks, right? And that there's no scholarship in the school of hard knocks. Nobody's paying your way. You pay for it. It will cost you to get that education. You're going to go through some things and you're going to pay some things, but you're going to grow in those things as well. This word goes back to also, this temptation goes back to a root word. It means parazo, and it means to test, endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline. The lexicon says this about it: to try to learn the name or character of someone or something by submitting such to thorough and extensive testing. Test, examine, put to the test. It sounds like our education, right? It sounds like the university. We get tests all over the place. We're tested by certain things. Our teachers test us. They give us a test to prove what we No, exactly. That's why we have tests. But it said here to entice. I looked up the dictionary definition of the word entice. Oh, by the way, let me say this. I think there's two aspects or two components to this word. One is the testing component. You know, he provides a test for us. The other is this enticing, scrutinizing aspect of the word. So the word entice here means attract or tempt by offering pleasure or advantage. By offering pleasure or advantage. Come on, try it. If it feels good, do it. We hear that all the time, right? That's pleasure. If it feels good, enter into your pleasure. Hey, God wants you happy. Enter into that pleasure. Everyone else is doing it. If you do this, you will gain popularity. That's your advantage. You'll become rich or famous or funny or liked or respected or admired. We get this temptation that says, oh, if I do this, I know I probably shouldn't, but I'll gain this advantage or I'll gain this pleasure if I do this thing that I don't think the Lord wants me to do. The enemy's always trying to tempt us. The word temptation from the dictionary also is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. A lot of sin is unwise, isn't it? You get done, you go, why did I do that? That wasn't very smart. And I think the thing about temptation, you know, something unwise, something wrong. I don't think many of us here are tempted to study. Oh yeah, just go on. Come on, just try it. You'll like it. No, really. Awesome, you know. I'm going to tempt you. Oh man, I couldn't. I just caved in. I just studied all night long, man. I just succumbed to the temptation. You know, I don't know anybody that's been tempted to work out or to exercise. No one here is tempted. You know, yesterday, man, I fell into it. I was tempted to diet, and boy, I'm full-blown into it now. Tempted to serve, or get up early, or pay taxes, or to quit drinking or smoking, or quit any vice. We're not tempted in those things. Whenever we look at temptation, it's like, I shouldn't do that, but it might feel good. It will give you an advantage. You'll be popular. People will like you. You'll be funny. You'll be awesome. It's going to be good for you. And every time I know in my life when I've succumbed to temptation, it's been a big lie. It wasn't to my advantage. I thought it was my advantage, but it ends up being a disadvantage. Oh yeah, we get popularity. Everything's going great, but that popularity ruins our entire life because it's all we live for now. I'm just saying it looks like it's advantage, but it will turn quickly to disadvantage and the devil will own you in that vice, in that sin, in that temptation. It says that when we have been approved, endure temptation for when we have been approved. Somehow going through temptation, there's this approval process. The word approved here means, in the lexicon, it means pertaining to being genuine on the basis of testing. It's been tested and found to be genuine. It's a real diamond, not a cubic zirconium. You know that? I mean, it's real. It's authentic. It's been examined. It's been tested. It's been looked at. And it's good. Usually most sin, the devil doesn't want you to look at it too long. He just wants you to go through the tent. It's great. Go in there. Go through the veil. You're going to like it in there. It's going to be wonderful. Don't look too long. You'll find out that it's really not true. Don't investigate too much. You'll find out, wow, this drug will really help you, but look at all the people who are dying because of that drug. Or the people who are trapped by that drug. I'm just saying the devil is, I hate him. I hate him. The word genuine. It says here you gain approval by enduring temptation, by passing the tests. Passing the tests proves our authentic Christianity. Passing the test proves that we're genuine, truly what something is said to be authentic. That's what the word genuine means. We become genuine Christians. I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians but don't live like it at all. But when we endure temptation, if we say no to ourselves and go through that testing, that we begin to prove that we're authentic, genuine Christians who love the Lord, who want to follow him, and want to grow. And then it says here, blessed is the man who endures. That word blessed, makarios, it means supremely blessed. Supremely blessed. That's way up there blessed, right? Supremely blessed by him who is supreme. It means fortunate or well off. You're well off. You're fortunate. It means pertaining to being happy. You really want to be happy? Endure temptation. With the implication of enjoying favorable circumstances. That's what the lexicon says about that particular word. Enduring temptation, which is hard at times, but it makes you blessed, fortunate, well off, and happy. How many times have you gone, oh man, let's say you're dieting, and you're, you know, I said, well, and then you give in, I take the chips and all of that, and then the next day I'm going, oh, why did I do that? I wish I wouldn't have done that. And then I go through a time where I'm saying, no, not going to do it. I wake up in the morning going, hey, I'm happy that I endured it. That's temptation. That's the sin, the desire, that thing that the enemy wants to destroy our life with. That seems like it's so good or it's difficult for us. He's saying, I get it. But you'll be well off. You'll be happier in the long run if you endure temptation. Instead of the instant gratification of happiness that simply wears away if we enter into the temptation. True happiness comes from enduring temptation, not giving into it. The devil will tell you that it's exactly the opposite that's really true. No, it's really true, the opposite of that. Why do we believe him? You know, when I enter into a temptation, why am I believing him who lies all the time? So many lies. So many lies. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm continuing in verse 13, I am tempted, parazo, by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. I love that about God. That word means not temptable. You know, it's kind of like those words in the dictionary that just say it's not the this, and you're going, but I wanted to know what that was. Not temptable. Look at it. God can't be tempted with evil. You can't go, hey, God, if I do this, man, I'll give you the rest of the solar system. I already got it, dude. There's nothing in God that responds to that. Hey, we'll make you look happier. Well, hey, you can be more puffed up and be a bigger God if you... He doesn't succumb to any of that. He has completely secured who he is and what he has. He can't be tempted by evil. He's never going to fall. I'm just saying, no, unlike us, right? I can be tempted by evil. I can be tempted. And it was also interesting that Jesus also came as a man, and he allowed himself, God allowed Jesus to be able to be tempted because he was tempted in all things. But he never gave in. As a man, he never gave in. And that's our hope. That's our hope. I'll tell you also is we can be tempted. And one thing I would never encourage you to say to yourself is, I could never be tempted by that. I don't want to get any more attention to anything in my life from anybody or anything or any spot. I don't need it. I don't want, I'm not looking for tests. I realize there by the grace of God go I. He goes on to say, nor does he, God, tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt anyone. He may test you, but he's not going to, if you will, coerce you. That's why I say I think there's two components to this word temptation, because he's going to test us. Part of temptation is this idea, I'm testing to see if you're genuine, to see if you're true, and to know if there's any defective parts here that we can get them changed out. Any things that are deficient here we can work on. He's testing us. That's how he grows us. That's how we get rid of some things in our life, because we realize these aren't helping me. The tests are good for us. They're good for us. But the devil, he uses coercion. God tests us, but the devil, he coerces us. He's trying to take it a lot further. And let me explain the difference here. Coercing. The word coercing is this. Persuade an unwilling person to do something by using force or threats or illicit rewards. That's what the devil does. Oh man, if you don't do that, you won't have any friends. That'll be awful. You need to do this because you'll get into the right crowd. This crowd who wants you to just party and they laugh at you. You know, it's one of the, I think, the difficult things about, let me digress for just a moment here. The difficult thing about sin is when other people are in it, they kind of want to see others get in it. I remember, especially with alcohol, it's like these guys are in it, so they're trying to get this person who's never drunk before in it, and they're trying to get him as drunk as they can so they can laugh at him while he's falling all over himself. And I just think it's so, again, I was in that, okay? So I was on both sides of that as a kid, as a person growing up. And I'm saying it's just, we laugh at a person trying to get them who's standing strong, and just love to see if we can just get, can we break down? Can we get it broken down? Just because we feel better about ourselves instead of, well, he's holier than me. So we try to get somebody else involved in, and they laugh at him as he's stumbling over everything. Or maybe we go too far and that person ends up dying, as we've seen. And then it's not funny anymore. But spiritual death is just as important. Spiritual death is even more deadly than our natural death. The devil coerces us. God doesn't coerce us. God tests us. He tests us. But coercion is exactly how the devil works. He's going to try to force you, get you in, thinking wrong. He's trying to kill, steal, or destroy you. And he'll use a lot of lies to do it. The devil is trying to get you to fall. God is trying to get you to stand. The devil is trying to get you to fall into temptation, fall into sin, fall away from God. But God himself is there to help you stand. No, I don't want to do that. No, you guys are lying to me. No, you're just going to make fun of me. No, I don't need popularity. I need God. No, I don't need riches. I need God. No, I don't need that. I need God. And we need God in America like never before. And we need Christians who are taking a strong stand and letting other people know, hey, that really isn't going to help you. What we really need in this hour is God. We need God. The Garden of Eden was the fall, but the Garden of Gethsemane was the stand. We fell in the garden, but we stand up. At Gethsemane, where he said no to his temptation for the cup to be taken away. He endured temptation. Jesus was also tempted and endured temptation just like we're supposed to. He could have cut and run, but he chose to stand. In Mark 1, 12 through 13, this is after Jesus is baptized. This is when he's tempted out in the wilderness, it says. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil as a man. Tempted by the devil just like us. He's hungry, 40 days, nothing to eat. And the devil comes in at a weak moment because he was truly 100% man, as he was also 100% God. But he was 100% man, so he could feel and understand exactly what we're going to go through when the enemy comes and tests you at your weak moment. Tempted by Satan. The word tempted is the same word parazo. He was enticed by the devil, offering him pleasure and advantage. Offering him pleasure and advantage. The devil tempts Jesus in three ways. And he tempts us in those same three ways. I'm going to read a number of things right here because I thought it was really, really, really good. It's the first way is the lust of the flesh. Again, Adam fell in these three. Adam and Eve fell in these three areas. And Jesus got tested in those three areas. And he passed the test. And so can we. But these are the areas in your life the enemy is going to come after you in the same way. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is everything that appeals to carnal and physical appetite. Although natural body desires are not inherently evil, the need for food, drink, sexual fulfillment, the devil can use these licit desires, licit within their own limits, to enslave man. In this category of temptation, Satan uses internal licit desires to produce illicit carnal passions, gluttony, fornication, all sorts of sin. The Israelites succumbed under this type of sin when the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. The devil tried to tempt Jesus in the same area, the lust of the flesh, when he urged him to turn the stones into bread in Matthew 4. Now when the tempter, Barazzo, the one, this names the devil himself, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, say with me these three words, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our real sustenance. Secondly, we're tempted by the pride of life. The pride of life is everything that appeals to haughtiness, arrogance, and pride. In this category of temptation, Satan uses a contemplation of personal achievement, popularity, academic success, to provide a self-sufficient attitude. When a person falls prey to the pride of life, there is no longer a battle against the flesh. The wicked one has won the sensual and intellectual battle. The Israelites succumbed to this type of sin when they acted proudly, hardened their necks. They were stiff-necked and did not heed God's commands. We saw it over and over and over again as they left Egypt. The devil tried to tempt Jesus by the pride of life when he took him to the holy city and said, to the pinnacle, and he urged him to defy God. And that's in Matthew 4, it says here. Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then notice what the devil uses scripture against him, misquoting it, misinterpreting it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And thirdly, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is everything that appeals to the eyes' insatiable demands. We see it, we see it, we see it. Why does advertising work? I didn't know you could get one of those. I want one of those. I mean, we're just always looking. Whatever we see it, we go, hey, I kind of want that. Not that it's wrong to want something, but it's wrong if we take it too far. In this category of temptation, Satan uses external attraction, whether inherently good as a desire for a house or a car, or inherently bad as a desire for your neighbor's wife, to produce covetousness. Eve and Achan both succumbed to that when they coveted what was prohibited. When God said, no, you can't have that, but we want it. We want it. So I went and took it. The devil tried to tempt Jesus with the lust of the eyes as he showed him all the kingdoms. And this is in Matthew 4. Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know what Jesus knew? Jesus knew that most things the devil tempts you with, God has already given you or will soon. He's just saying, wait. Sex, but it looks like, wait. I'll give you those things. I'll give you those things. Wait. Let me give them to you. Don't take. Sometimes instead of waiting, we are into taking. He says, wait, don't take. Wait for God. When he got all done, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation was thrown at Jesus. He knows how you feel when you're tempted. He departed from him until an opportune time. What's that word? The devil left him until an opportune time, a time when there is a better opportunity, when you are more susceptible to his luring. He did that to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to see three things out of these three points here about the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. There are three things I want to say in this passage. The devil is always looking for an opportune time to tempt you. What's an opportune time? When you've lost something, when you've had a defeat, when you're down, when you're depressed. The devil loves to tempt you right there. I can make you feel better. Take this, do this, watch this, click that, say that. He's going to tempt you when you're low. He's going to look for that opportune time when you're really weak, and he's going to move in there. Or maybe it's a time after a victory, a great victory, and you win. It was an awesome thing. God did this and all that, and you feel like you're on top of the world, like, hey, I'm so good. I'm so good. I can do whatever I want. A lot of ministers have fallen that way, have done great things for God, great things for the kingdom, and somehow they thought that greatness was all they needed. Boy, I'll tell you, he loves to knock us down. So be on guard. Be on guard. Secondly, Jesus defeated the temptations of the devil by knowing and quoting the word of God. So know the word of God. Why do you think it's so important in this house that we're always preaching from the word of God? We always want to talk about the word of God. We have the Carpenter series talking about the word of God, so we know what the word of God says, so we can stand strong. Thank you, all of you who are taking the Carpenter series this year. I'm so thankful for you doing that. You're putting an investment in your spiritual walk so you can stand strong. We have Bible Foundations 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have church services where we're preaching the word. There are small groups. We need to stay in the word of God. We need to know the word of God and recite the word of God and throw it right back in the devil's face when we're being tempted. Amen. We need to stand strong. We need this to stand strong on, because it's the word. It's the truth, the whole truth. Regardless what anybody else says about there out there, this is the truth. This will endure forever and ever and ever and ever. And we with it will endure. Get in. Keep growing. Sunday morning small group here. Keep growing in your faith, because when you stop, you stop. The third thing is the devil misuses truth in the word. So be on guard. But you know, somebody over here I heard said, you know, and that sounds good. That sounds nice. We should love one another. That's a Bible thing. And so we should. But that's not what it's saying in this application right here. It's not anything goes. It's what does the word of God say? The biggest one I think the devil uses is God wants you happy. God wants you happy. So go ahead and do dot, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. Sure, God wants you happy, but not at the expense of sin or going against the will of God for your life. We just said, blessed is a man who endures temptation. It means happy. The guy's happy because he endured temptation. Woohoo! I stood strong. I'm so excited. I'm so happy with how my life is going. So keep standing strong. Keep enduring. He's got great stuff for you. Even Jesus, when he was tempted, hey, I know your flesh is feeling bad right now. You're going to get crucified tomorrow. And the devil is just tempting him. And even Jesus is going, hey, Dad, is it possible we could ditch this thing? Can you take this from me? But then he has this caveat, but not my will, yours be done. Jesus today knows when you're going through a temptation and you want to cut and run and you're going, oh, this is so hard. I know I've been there. I've been right there. I get you. I know it. But I do know this, that happiness will flee you. It'll be gone. But I know that happiness that God gave me was a joy. True happiness And joy comes from following the divine will of God. True happiness comes from enduring temptation. Jesus did it. Look at this in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Another thing he endured for us. So thankful. Can you imagine where we would all be today if Jesus, when he was being tempted not to do it, just gave in to it. Just one thing, just for a moment. Where would the cross be? Where would our salvation be? Where would anything be? We wouldn't be. There would be no way to get to heaven because we're all like filthy rags. We're all in our sin. But Jesus went to the cross. He endured temptation. He endured the cross so he could bring deliverance and freedom from sins and open up heaven's door to us all. He endured. The next time you have to endure something, realize, hey, God's going to help me. He knows what it feels like. He's here for me. I'm going to endure. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to call for help. I'm going to make it. He endured temptation. He endured it. He remained under it. He remained, undergo, bear, have fortitude, persevere. Jesus stayed on the cross till every ounce of blood was poured out on the ground for your sins. He stayed on the cross. He stayed true. He didn't come down. He didn't quit. He endured for you. I put this in our notes here. Jesus endured temptation and the cross for you, so you can endure temptation and pick up your cross and follow him. That's what brings true joy. I'll tell you, the greatest joy I found in my life really is enduring temptation and standing strong and seeing the results of what that's done in my life. I got a long ways to go. God's still working on me like he is on all of us. But some of the greatest happiness is knowing this, that I love Jesus, he loves me, and that I'm going to live and reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. The goodness of God is so, so good. Thank you, Lord. Continuing on here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings death. The word desires here, it means a longing, especially for what is forbidden. As Eve longed for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As Achan longed for that garment that was in the tent there, that Babylonian garment. It must have been really blazing or something. I don't know why he'd want the garment, but there was silver and gold in there as well. He went after it. God said, no. You can't have that. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you in future battles, but you can't have it now. If you wait for it, I will give it to you. You know what? He didn't want to wait for it. He wanted it now. And so he got it now, and his sin cost him his life and his family's life. I'm just saying that our sin costs us and others when we enter into it. And we're thinking, but I want it. I want to get it. And God's going, hey, hold on. Wait. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to give it to you. That which is good. That which is good. Enticed means to entrap, delude, trick, or bait. You know, that's exactly what the devil does. He gets a trap. He sets a trap for you. You know, there are certain things that you go, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. But there are certain things that do kind of, and so he sets a trap. That's what the devil does. He sets a trap. He sets a trap for you. And you know what he puts in here? He didn't put cheese in there. He puts, what's your kryptonite? He knows what it is. Oh, let's put that in there. I want to put a big computer screen in there and a little thing and put them in a room somewhere. I'm going to give him, hey, I'm going to throw some pills on the ground and all this. I'm going to give him a bunch of popularity. If he just goes and does that and walks away, I'm going to make him pop. I'm just saying, there's something that entices us. And let me say this about you going, I can't believe that person did that. I can't believe that person became a drug addict. I can't believe that person, blah, blah, blah. I can't believe that person succumbed to that. Let me tell you this. Maybe that's not your vice. Maybe that's not your temptation. But the devil does know what will get you. So don't boast like that could never happen to me. What's the matter with those people? How come they can't stand strong? I'm telling you this, that as a church, we understand we are all sinners here. Nobody's looking at you and saying, why can't you make it? We're all saying, hey, we need each other to make it. Nobody's condemning you. We're all trying to help each other here. But he's putting exactly what will bait you. What will catch your eye. What will satisfy your flesh. Which will make you proud. And he puts it right there. I hate him. He entices us. Hey, look, come on. Look. He's running and puts it under your nose. Oh, just touch that. Jeez. Boom. Let me say this. The devil's not your friend. He thinks of you no more than a mouse or a rodent that he's to catch. You're nothing but a mouse, a rodent that he's baiting so he can catch you. I hate him. The word delude in this entice, to entrap, trick, bait, delude. I looked up that word delude. You know what it means? Believing something that is not true. Is that not what the devil does? He deludes you? Hey, if you take this, it'll be great. Okay, and we do it. It's a lie. It's not true. He's a liar, the father of lies, and there is no truth in him, the Bible says. He doesn't tell you the truth. He lies to you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. He's lying to you. I want to show you this video. I just got another point here or so to make. We'll end. But I wanted to show you this video. It's about 2 minutes long. It's a kid who's got some candy in front of him. His parent says, hey, I'm going to give that to you when I get back. But don't touch it for right now. Okay? I'm going to give that to you. You're going to get it. But don't touch it right now. Watch what happens.
Don't eat it until Daddy gets back into the room, okay? So I'm just going to go to the toilet, but don't eat it until Daddy gets back, okay?
I won't.
Okay.
He says, I won't.
Okay.
Don't eat it. I won't. Look at him. Oh, God, this is hard. Look at it. Notice what he's doing. He's looking at it. Good thing not to do. Don't look at sin. He just took a piece. That was a crumb over the side. Nobody misses that. Nobody misses the crumb. It's just a little. It's really nothing. He's trying to endure. Trying to endure. He's like us. Now we had a little teeny taste of that over there. And we go, that's pretty dang good. And I'm not supposed to touch it, but I so want to. Well, look at him. That's small. It's just a teeny taste. Put it back. I'm not going to touch. It's so small. Nobody misses that. It was just a little bit. Dad won't know that is missing. That's all it is. I'm going to endure. Oh, boy. My Lord, this is hard. Okay. All right. Oh, he takes a bigger bite. Put it. Oh, but I don't. I'm going to put it back. That's all I want. That's all I want. Just that. I'm enduring and chewing at the same time. Oh, how long is this going to be? He keeps looking. I'm enduring. What the heck? He takes a huge bite. Oh, the little one he puts back. He takes the big one.
You okay?
He's got it in his mouth and he's chewing.
You've eaten it. You've eaten a bit. I thought I said wait till I get back. I thought I said wait.
But it wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't.
Who
me.
Was it?
I didn't
it
do
was
it.
Me eating that chocolate.
It was you. Was it you or someone else?
What's that noise?
What's that noise? I can say no more than just show you that. If that isn't what the devil does, if that isn't how sin and temptation works, here he is. Don't touch this. I'll give it to you when I get back. But the little kid just can't seem to endure a little taste at the side. Nobody will miss that. It's not really sin because it's not even a part of the main chocolate bar. It fell over here. That's not that bad. I can just be there. But he keeps looking at it. He keeps looking at it. And it just begins to entice him. And now he starts entertaining the thought of just a small little bite. You can go ahead and bring the tables out for communion. Just a small little bite. I'm just going to take a teeny bit. He takes it. And then tries to endure. I probably shouldn't have done that. Trying to endure. And then takes a bigger bite. And then takes a bite you think he's going to take, but why not take the bigger part and put the smaller part back? And while he's chewing it, while he's chewing his sin, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. I think we all need to get to the point where David was. I am the man. You're the man, David. He always thought it wasn't me. You're the one who did it. You murdered Uriah the Hittite. You slept with Bathsheba. And finally, he confessed. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. And finally, at the very end, it's the old switcheroo. What's that noise? What's that noise? Let's go talk about the noise over here. Let's get away from my sin. Let's get the finger off of me. Don't point it towards me. Let's get it onto somebody else. The kindness of God is to confront you with your sin. As I said last time, his mercy is to bow down and help you so you can be picked up and forgiven. The devil uses our own desires and weaknesses against us. He tries to exploit them, so be on guard. Be on guard. The more you play with sin or entertain it, the more you are likely to give into it. So cut and run! Oh, it's there. I'm going to get out of the room. I'm not even going to be in the room where that chocolate is. I'm not even going to be in that room. I'm going to go someplace else. Lord, hey, I'm going to get my Bible reading. I'm going to call a friend. I'm going to do that. Get out of the room. Get away from it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Cut and run. Joseph did. He cut and run. Don't entertain it. Once you begin to entertain it, it's going to go down a step. Show me your search history. And I'll show you what your desires are. I'll show you where your heart's at. And you can't delete your search history from God. But you can confess it. And you can be forgiven. That's what's so amazing about you, God. Even in the worst guy, Lord, you forgave me. We can ask God for help. And let me conclude with these thoughts. That passage there, the devil tempts us with our own desires or weaknesses and entices us. You are tempted by your own desires, not somebody else's. So again, don't boast. Oh, no, I can't believe you fell to that. But you fell to this over here. That's not the church, folks. That's not who we are. We help one another. We don't criticize. When we partake of our sinful desires, it gives birth to sin. Sin starts to grow. That chocolate just started feeling better and better and better in there. But sin unchecked grows like a cancer in us. And finally, it causes death, spiritual death. Spiritual death. Today, we see so much in the news about a person who died from complications with COVID. And it's so sad. So many have died from complications with COVID. But a vast more people have died due to complications with sin. A spiritual death. But you know what? God can forgive. God resurrects. God gives us vision and purpose. He picks us up out of the miry clay. He breathes life back into us. He is so good to us. So good. I've been singing that this whole week about how good he is, about how awesome he is, about how I'm so thankful. You've never given up on me, God. I'm so thankful. As I conclude, remember, Jesus endured temptation. He gets you, and he can help you endure your temptation as well. He's not mocking you. He's not laughing at you. He knows how hard it is. If you've fallen, he says, get back up. We got another test coming. It's going to be okay. I love you. I'm going to help you. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up on God, because he'll never give up on you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation with the help of God and his friends. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the massive amount of forgiveness you've given in my life. You've been so good to me. So good. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for all that you give. Help us, Lord, as we endure our time, our opportune moment that the enemy takes advantage of. Help us to stand strong. Help us to endure. Give us the grace, the courage, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the enabling, the empowerment of the Spirit to stand strong, to be victorious. And know, Lord, that we love you, love you, love you, love you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being so, so good to me. I love you. We're going to partake of communion. One of the aspects of communion is we're supposed to examine our life, take a look at it. Hey, anything out of order, anything I need to confess to the Lord? Look at it, confess it now. Ask him to forgive you. That's why we come to the table. And then we come and we remember. It says we're to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. We realize that his body was broken, that his blood was poured out. That's why we take part of these two elements. We realize that there's healing involved in that. By his stripes, we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He forgives them. Because he did that on the cross. We're supposed to remember that. We're supposed to be thankful for that. We're supposed to let that give us motivation to continue to go, I'm going to endure temptation because Jesus endured the cross for me and forgave me of all my sins. So, Lord, I want to stand stronger and harder. So, communion, it's open to anybody who's a Christian. It's not our table, it's the Lord's table. Wherever you're from, you're most welcome to it. If you know what it means to be forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, please come and partake. And then partake on your own. But before you do, examine your heart and ask the Lord, is there anything in here that I need to confess? Look at me, Lord. Search us right now, God. Show us our sin, our wicked way. But your blood, your grace washes it away. You wash it away. It's gone. All we have to do is confess. So, Lord, as we all examine our hearts now, we're so thankful for you. As we partake today, Lord, forgive us of our sins and give us the strength to endure. We remember you, Jesus, what you did for us, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Partake on your own. Come up. Spend some time with God, though. Let him take a peek. Let him help you. I love you guys.